You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
And this is The Space Show. The Lunar and Planetary Science Conference was held last week in Texas. One of the speakers was Sandra Connolly. She's the Deputy Associate Administrator of NASA's Science Mission Directorate, and she gave an outline of what NASA plans to do with science space missions this year.
You know, science never sleeps. It's always an exciting time for science. We had a great year last year. We're going to have a great year this year. And I'm just going to mention one thing in each of the rows. So we're looking forward to our probes announcement of opportunity for astrophysics coming up. We're also on biological physical sciences. Really big year for them because we are getting the updated decadal survey, which is going to set our strategy moving forward, tied to, you know, commercial lunar destinations and the transformation from ISS to these commercial platforms. So very exciting time for BPS. Earth Science, we're getting ready to launch the TEMPO mission and the TROPICS mission. Very important Earth Science missions, both looking at pollution as well as advancing our understanding of hurricanes. Heliophysics, I mentioned the heliophysics big year, but we're also looking forward to announcing the dynamic announcement of opportunity. And then finally, planetary science, we've got the amazing CLPS missions to look forward to. So the first time, we're using commercial lunar payload services. Joel's going to tell you more about this. But first time that we're actually delivering landers, the U.S. is delivering landers to the moon since the Apollo era. And we're doing it in partnership with industry. So super fun, super exciting times.
And Sandra Connolly was followed by Laurie Glaze. She's the director of the Planetary Science Division of NASA. And she had the horrible job of outlining the realities of NASA's budget.
All right, I'm going to talk about budget real quickly. When I had to submit my slides last week, I could only talk about the appropriation for fiscal year 2023. And what you can see here on the enacted budget that we're working under right now, that planetary science was appropriated $3.2 billion. That's a 2.5% growth over last year. That's actually $40 million above what we asked for through the president's request, which is great. But note that we have a lot of constraints in our budget that we need to cover. There were some increases to Dragonfly and to the Near Earth Object Surveyor. And so there is still a little bit of a gap between what our needs are and what the appropriation was, but we're working through those in the operating plan process. And once all that's approved, we, as always, will make all of that operating plan budget available to everyone. Just yesterday, you probably heard that the fiscal year 2024 president's budget request came out. So this is the budget that will now go to the Hill for Congress to consider for the appropriation for next year. So I can talk just very top level about that fiscal year 2024 request, the request that goes to Congress. Within that budget, there's overall, again, great support for Planetary Science Division at a level of $3.383 billion for planetary science. $183 million more than the appropriated amount for this year. So we're continuing to ask Congress to provide the incredible support that they have for planetary. Let's hope that support continues. Within that at fiscal year 24 request, there's an increase to the research and analysis budget. There's funding for NEO Surveyor that's consistent with what we confirmed that mission at in November for fiscal year 24 and out. There is increased funding for Mars sample return in fiscal year 2024. I will note, however, when you look at the details of the budget, the out years for Mars sample return are still not quite what they need to be. We've got the request for 24, but not further out that we had requested. Let's see, there's increased funding for Psyche to support the new launch date in October. There's increased funding to support Viper, which also had a delayed launch to fiscal year 2024, or into calendar year 2024, and Joel will probably talk about that a little bit. There's funding to support Artemis 3 and beyond with science. It significantly expands NASA's support for the ESA Rosalind Franklin mission, which some of you know was supposed to launch last year, but owing to complications in the Ukraine, ESA needed to stand down. And we're looking for some additional help from NASA to help with that mission, including the descent engines for the lander, radioisotope power systems, and a launch vehicle. And so we're looking to help with that, to get that mission to fly. Unfortunately, as I said, we've got a great budget here, but we still can't quite fit everything in. And so the budget that you'll see does eliminate our investments in the dynamic radioisotope power systems and the associated technologies. And the budget also, you'll see, includes the delay to the Veritas launch to no earlier than 2031. In the fall, we delayed Veritas mission, as I mentioned, to no earlier than 2031 launch. And we were talking about what is required to restart Veritas in 2025. And some of the criteria, the first criteria is that I need to make sure we secure the funding for that, which I'm working on. Just to mention that I've asked the community to provide feedback on priorities related to next discovery calls in support of the, selected mission, the discovery mission, Veritas. We've got a lot of great support from the community to restart Veritas, even if that means not holding the next discovery call. So I just want to mention that that's the feedback I've gotten from the community. I've heard it loud and clear. So my job is to get that funding secured for the restart. The project's going to provide us with a budget in the budget planning process this spring that'll lay out what's required for that launch scenario. Another requirement is that in response to the Psyche Independent Review Board report that came out, we need JPL to demonstrate that they are making progress towards some of the issues that were identified. There's an interim assessment coming up this month and then an assessment in 2024.
One of the jobs of the administrators of NASA is to decide who gets the money. And as you heard there, the Veritas mission has been postponed. Now, Veritas is an acronym for Venus Emissivity Radio Science InSAR Topography Spectroscopy. It is an orbiter that is to go into orbit around Venus. The principal investigator for that mission is Sue Smikra, and she works at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and she was furious. Listen to her as she berates Laurie Glaze, and Laurie just had to stand there and take it.
Hi, Laurie.
Hi, Sue.
I know you're doing a lot of great things, but unfortunately I have to bring you back to the not-so-great thing, because this mission that was on track is being effectively martyred for all of those missions that are going over budget. And there are many, not only at JPL. And before I forget, I want to, I think you misspoke about restarting Veritas because you said 25. Mm-hmm. I've been told that it's not 25, it's 26. That's what your staff told me.
Okay.
So there's another moving target as to when we can restart. But I think people need to understand, many people here at the conference don't understand, that it's not a simple delay. And that, based on the Psyche issues identified, workforce, the Psyche overrun, I could have seen justifying a year, maybe 2 years. But this plus 3 years has nothing to do with the IRB. It has nothing to do with JPL workforce or the Psyche overruns. So that's a whole nother deal that cannot be justified in that way. And, I think people have to understand that it's not a simple delay. All of our engineering funding has been taken mm-hmm. away, which means the team that in some cases has been working over 10 years on this mission, you know, the very experienced team that was a problem for Psyche to assemble is being disbanded. And those, you know, five people in that area that we had working on Veritas, that the Psyche IRB related fields, they're not going to help Clipper. They're not going to help Psyche. And they're certainly not going to go to India to help NISAR. So, you know, there's part of it can be justified based on Psyche and the IRB, but the complete stand down, this greater than 3 year delay, it's beyond any of those issues. So I think the community has to understand that. And, you know, the reason that so many in the community are outraged by this are these facts that, you know, a mission that was on track is being put contingent upon earth science missions and all kinds of other things that have nothing to do with us. So anyone who wants to be a PI or be on a PI-led mission is pretty outraged about how this is going down. So I hope it's 25 and not 26. So, you know, the goalpost just keeps moving and the budget keeps moving. And it's just, you know, it's a much more complicated and dire situation than I think the community realizes.
Well, Laurie just had to take that tirade. Now, another thing that Laurie mentioned in her talk was the Mars mission, the European Space Agency's Mars mission, and NASA's having to spend some money to help them because it was going to be launched on a Russian vehicle with a Russian lander, but that's not possible. So here is a description and a question about it by Candice Hansen.
Candy Hansen, PSI.
Hi, Candy.
Hi. So my comment and question concern radioactive power supplies. Mm-hmm. I have participated in OPEG studies and the decadal survey, the most recent one, the study that we did, and the missions that are recommended in the decadal survey, the mm-hmm. new one. Our budget is very, very, very tight on both mm-hmm. plutonium and clads. So you can imagine my surprise to hear some of that very precious supply may be going to ExoMars.
So let's be clear. I didn't say we're sending clads to ExoMars.
It's what are we sending?
The radioisotope heating units.
RHUs.
Okay. RHUs. And if I said something otherwise.
No, I wanted part of the clarification that I wanted.
Okay.
Those are also pretty tight in supply.
And we are restarting the production. Eric, do you want to stand up and say something? I mean, Eric's the director for RPS.
And let me just finish my actual mm-hmm. question, because that was supposed to be commentary. Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
My actual question is, there is a way to boost the funding to get that program going faster. And so I was curious if the $2024 dollars include money for the RPS or RHU. Mm-hmm. To ExoMars. That's
Eric,
my question.
Why don't you go to the microphone and answer that one?
So, hi, I'm Eric Ayens. I'm Laurie's deputy for planetary.
I don't think the microphone's picking you up.
Yep. All right, let me go this way. I'll point that way. So, I'm Eric Ayens. I'm Laurie's deputy for planetary overall, but I'm also the program director for both the Mars Exploration Program and the RPS program. So we are working with the Europeans to be able to provide an amount of RHUs in order to be able to support their design. The budget that we have does support the restart of the RHU production line, and we're actually working with DOE on that restart. But we're going to need those RHUs not only for ExoMars, but also for Dragonfly and perhaps other applications as well.
Oh, so, it's very short supply. That's
so,
my point.
Yes, the inventory amount that we have is insufficient to be able to support all of our upcoming requirements. So we're restarting the production line.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to really pin him down on the numbers here. And so I'm asking the ramp up in plutonium production, PU-238, is it right now? It's at like 0.5. Are you going to go up to 1.5?
I think we're at. We are ramping up, but not quite to that amount. I don't remember the exact numbers off the top of my head. I'd have to go back.
So somewhere between 0.5 and 1.5?
Yes. What's the number? 1.5 by 2026.
Perfect. That's a great answer.
Thank you, Lynn, our program executive.
Some of the discussion at the Lunar and Planetary Science Conference in Texas last week, and we'll return to that.
88.3 Southern FM.
The Space Show. At last week's Lunar and Planetary Science Conference, Laurie Grace, the Director of Planetary Science Division, went on to give some updates on the missions.
Mars 2020 Perseverance rover continues to do amazing things on Mars. We've collected a bunch of samples now. We've placed 10 diverse samples, scientifically diverse samples on the surface of Mars as a backup cache so that we know a safe place to land at the floor of Jezero Crater near the front of the Delta. We know we can land there safely. We know we have 10 samples there that, that represent a diverse set of geology in Jezero. And so as a backup, we know we can go there and get those 10 samples. However, we also have pairs of each of those 10 on the rover. We're continuing to collect samples, hopefully up to as many as 30 or 31. And then wherever Perseverance ends up, our primary goal is to land the Mars sample return lander near Perseverance. So all that full cache of 31 samples or 30 samples can get loaded on and returned back. So we've got great progress there. You can see here those 10 samples on the surface of Mars sitting there waiting quietly until maybe they get picked up, or maybe we collect the ones on the rover and they just sit there as a relic on the surface. Quick update on Psyche and Janus. I've already mentioned briefly that the Psyche mission to visit the asteroid 16 Psyche, metallic asteroid, that mission in the fall, we agreed to delay that launch until this year. Until October 5 is when the launch window opens. And so that is moving forward. The project is making very good progress towards being ready for that launch in October. Spacecraft is down at Kennedy Space Center. It's right now kind of in a maintenance mode, kind of storage, but we go in and check on it periodically. In June, it'll kind of go back into the assembly, test, and launch operations mode, where we start to prepare it for integration onto the rocket and launch in October. I did want to mention Janus, which was the Simplex rideshare that was supposed to ride with Psyche. The new launch window, unfortunately, does not allow the Psyche spacecraft to achieve their level one science objectives, and so they have been demanifest from Psyche. Europa Clipper, what an incredible mission this is going to be to fly to Jupiter or go into orbit around Jupiter and then execute multiple flybys of Jupiter's moon Europa. The assembly test and launch operations are really picking up speed. You can watch them live on the webcam if you like. Most of the instruments are delivered and being integrated. There's another one being delivered in a couple weeks, the narrow angle camera for the Europa imaging system. Just leaves a couple left, and so we're really starting to march forward at a pretty fast pace with expectation of launch in October of 2024 and arrival at Jupiter in April of 2030. And speaking of Jupiter and its moons, the European Space Agency's mission, JUICE, to explore Callisto, Europa, and Ganymede is actually right on the verge of launching. In fact, 1 month from yesterday is the launch date for JUICE from Kourou, French Guiana. The spacecraft is down there being integrated and getting ready to go. So keep an eye out for that one. They're going to be launching in April with an arrival in the Jupiter system in 2031. And of course, NASA has contributions to three of the instruments on the payload for JUICE. I want to talk about New Horizons for a moment. The New Horizons mission went through a senior review last year. That review began in February. The results, the report from the senior review process, just to note, it was a multidisciplinary review of the proposal that came from that team looking at astrophysics, heliophysics, and planetary science objectives. The report from the senior review was delivered to the Planetary Science Division last April. At the same time, in parallel, astrophysics and heliophysics also looked at the proposal and provided their assessments. There was a selection letter that went to the team in May, but the decision then continued following that letter, owing to a reconsideration request submitted by the team. And then the final decision that was signed off by Thomas Zurbuchen was sent in August. And the content of that essentially
was based on the senior review materials, which are available online that you can go look at, but basically indicated that there's a lot of great heliophysics science that can be done with the spacecraft. There's some astrophysics that can be done, but as far as planetary science, the report states that there's no major strengths for planetary science. It include one minor strength related to observations of the dwarf planets, Uranus and Neptune, and then one major weakness that the Kuiper Belt object studies are unlikely to dramatically improve our state of knowledge. So based on that, we are funding it through 2024 to support the planetary science, helio, and astro objectives. But we really want to make sure that the spacecraft is being used going forward. Beyond that, it's a healthy spacecraft, and in the interest of our science communities and taxpayers and the team itself, we want to make sure there's an opportunity there in the future. And so to that end, Astrophysics Planetary are collaborating with Helio to put out a request for information. It should be coming out soon, looking for ideas for how to use the science to use the spacecraft going forward. It's going to be open, as I said, a lot of great science already identified for heliophysics, but the RFI will be open for other ideas as well. So keep an eye out for that.
In that report, Laurie mentioned the demanifesting of Janus that was to be launched with Psyche, and she gave a reason that it couldn't find a trajectory to get to the planned asteroids. Janus is a planned NASA mission that would send dual probes, two probes, to visit binary asteroids. And she was asked about this in the question and answer session.
Nancy Chabot, Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Lab. Since the community is very supportive of competed missions having a chance to fly, it sounds like Janus should maybe be on a path to have a chance to fly. Do you want to say what the options might be there? I was happy to see when you presented it this time, they were no longer canceled potentially. Are there options? Because it seems like
a competed
mission.
The situation hasn't changed on Janus. So the situation with Janus, as I said, they're not able to achieve the level one science with the current Psyche launch. So a launch on Psyche is not an option. They've been demanifest. The spacecraft are out at Lockheed Martin. We've talked previously that the propulsion systems have some issues and are very, very high risk. And so there's a question on whether or not they're going to perform, and whether, you know, how much more we should be investing in trying to get those spacecraft off the ground with propulsion systems that are very high risk. The other aspect is that the team are actually, and I think I mentioned this before at the SBAG meeting, are off looking at some potential other science activities and looking for other potential rides. And if they find something that looks compelling, we've told them that our door is open. They've still got additional funding that we've already sent to them. We said, go ahead and spend it, use it as you like to see what you can find. And if they come back with a compelling idea, we've said we'll listen.
And New Horizons was mentioned. That's the mission that went to Pluto and then on to the Kuiper Belt object Arrokoth, and it's now well out into the Kuiper Belt, which is a very sparse area of space.
Can you tell me more or us more about the potential recompete of the New Horizons science team and the thought process behind what NASA is looking for?
Yeah, I would be happy to. So as I said, you know, the spacecraft is in good shape. And I think still capable of delivering good science for our science community. As I said, as stewards of the taxpayer dollars, I think we want to make sure that happens. So the RFI that will be coming out is looking for science ideas. I want to make clear that we're not looking to recompete the operational team. We have an operational team. And so that would remain the same. The RFI is not a competition. It's actually looking for ideas for science that can be done with the spacecraft. And then perhaps following that request for information, there may be a solicitation that follows. The ideas that can be submitted are not restricted in any way to any of the disciplines. I mentioned that through the senior review process, the heliophysics science was very, very well reviewed. So I think that's an important data point, but we're not restricting the RFI to just heliophysics. It's open to astro or planetary as well.
And here we leave the lunar and planetary Science Conference held last week.